I'm the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapman. I'm just breaking shit all around this place. Damn it. All right. That's gonna be the pod, but no, we got a big pod planned for people. We got the mock draft that we are gonna be doing on the podcast. It'll be a live mock draft. Tyler's back.
What's up, baby? What's up, y'all?
Tyler's back. And yeah, we have some big news to say because, well, the Lions were not supposed to have their uniforms leaked earlier in the day, but they end up getting leaked. But the new uniforms are out, and these are the new jerseys for the Detroit Lions. The One Pride, which I don't think anybody is saying that's a new jersey. It's not a new jersey. It's basically the 90s jersey that came back. Now, I do love the blue face mask. I think it's great. And, Tyler, if you notice, they could still do the blue on blue and white on white. So that's cool. I think one of the white pants and everything. And then you got the black jersey, the Motor City Muscle. If you didn't see the helmet, it's right there, obviously, in the corner. But it just the way Gibbs looks, the black stripe, black lion. It's absolutely phenomenal the way that they did this, and it's A+ in my opinion for the way that the Detroit Lions did this reconstruction of their jersey. Because let's be honest, I didn't like the last jerseys. I thought they were kind of XFL-ish. They didn't really. The Lions are one of the original NFL teams, and they have jerseys that are too like stupidly modern, and the numbers are stupid, where you can't even read them.
They weren't my favorite in the whole world, but I like that they go back to the classic font. A lot of people were complaining about like the holes and like the numbers, which actually is more of like a design to kind of help the players with them a little bit. They look really breathable. So, like, I think they'll be really practical for playing with, but I also think they look really cool. I like that 90s block lettering. And then, on the blue and the white jerseys, and then those black jerseys, dude, are just sweet. I mean, they do kind of give you some, like, you know, they kind of give you some Carolina Panthers vibes a little bit, but I think they're super sick. Everyone has a problem with the black jerseys because we were, like, when we last had black jerseys, we were, like, super shitty. But I love that they brought it back. It just gives us a cool, like, alternate, you know, like almost like that kind of fits that like grit attitude era that like we're going for. Like kind of gives us like a villain look. So like, you know, it'll be fun to see when they roll those out. You know, maybe we'll roll them out against some rivals or, you know, and some going forward. Fun to
see when they roll those out. Yeah, it's gonna be good. I was posting something to the podcast, but yeah, like this, these uniforms are very, very sweet. I like them. The new uniforms, the black uniform looks better than I thought it would be. I didn't like the old black uniforms. I thought they were a little bit outdated. I thought they were a little bit shown, and I didn't like the white outline, the white, you know, interior. But now that they go to the black, it's like the black interior, the blue outline, as you can see here. I think the blue interior, the gray outline. I think that looks really damn good, especially like Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he looks really good in it. I really do. And I think these guys, I think that helmet that they've added, that's phenomenal. That helmet that they had is absolutely phenomenal.
When you're confident and you feel like, you know, it's like look good, feel good, play good, like giving these guys something that they're proud to wear, like it just gives you a little extra fuel and like fire. I mean, like people, you know, They want to feel good when they're playing, and just kind of like how Oregon has all these different like uniform combos, and they go out there and they love having that extra swag and stuff. So,
man, I don't know what the buzz sound is, but anyways, yeah, that's part of the deal. Like they have, I thought this was the best way that they could bring back the old uniforms. Now, the Detroit across the center, I'm not really a fan of, to be honest, on the white jerseys, but we'll deal with it. But I love the new helmets. I think those are sweet. I didn't like the gray on gray. I like the blue face mask, and I think that some of these players are going to look really damn good, especially like the ones with the visors and shit. I think it's going to be look really good.
Oh yeah.
So we got a lot to get to. We got the mock draft that we are going to be doing on the podcast. We got to get to some news and notes and everything. But Tyler, since the last time you were here, I think it was like the San Francisco game. Yeah, it might have been San Francisco game.
But yeah, after the season ended, yeah, we did a little bit of a season recap and kind of talked.
Yeah. We're back and we're doing, and for everyone that's on the live right now, if you're on the podcast, you already know, but we're on all the platforms that podcaster. You can even go on your smart device, the Amazons, the Samsungs, and listen to it there. So that's something new for this podcast. So we're broadening our reach out there, Tyler. But let's get to some comments. There's some people that have commented. Rodney, one of the guys I work with, he said, "What up, man?" And I say, "What up?" And obviously, you know, this is what it is. And if your comments, everyone that's watching right now, your comments on the new uniforms would be great. So if you have your comments, let them know. We'll read your comments as we go. But we have the mock drafts that we did separate from each other. So Tyler, you can go with your mock draft first, and then I'll go with my mock draft second.
Yeah, so starting off, obviously, for the first, you know, kind of our final mock, or at least, you know, getting close to with the draft coming up, you know, we've got some stuff that's starting to shape up. So the way I see this, I got us picking 29. I mean, that's assuming I do have a feeling we either trade up or trade down. Brad Holmes doesn't like to stay still. But for this draft purpose, I just kept all the picks the same. We got I went with 29. I was going with Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama. You know, just like I said, I think a couple really big areas of opportunity are going to be defensive line and corner this year. So had to go out and get one of the top corners available. And then I have us at 61 taking Braden Fisk, defensive tackle from Florida State. Really athletic guy, can kind of do 5-tech, 3-tech, kind of can line up anywhere, a lot of versatility. And I think that's something that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell both really like, is that versatility. At 73, I got Cedric Van Prangranger. I don't know if I said that right or not. He's a offensive lineman out of Georgia. A little bit raw, but, you know, has the right tools. And I really am confident in this offensive line coaching staff. So I think that, you know, getting someone like that for depth that can really, you know, kind of shore up the guard positions or maybe slide in and play tackle if injury occurs or anything like that, it's important. Also, has played a little bit of center at Georgia. So, you know, just having a guy that's versatile is important. And then I got Cedric Johnson, edge rusher at Ole Miss at 164. I've got A.J. Barner, tight end at Michigan at 201. And then I've got Edafuan Ulofosio, linebacker out of Washington at 205. And then last pick at 249, Will Reichert, the kicker from Alabama. So, you know, like I said, I think it touches on a few positions of need. It really, you know, gives us an opportunity to shore up some offensive line depth, some defensive line, corner, linebacker, tight end, just kind of puts a little bit of cherry on the top for all those positions. You know, one unique thing about this draft is that we don't really have a ton of glaring needs. So we kind of can just go best player available. I mean, I know we're looking at someone to be opposite of Aiden to help get to the quarterback. And we also need some cornerback help. But outside of that, you know, these are just kind of a luxury draft. I mean, you're coming off a 12-win season, and we're just hoping to be able to add to this. So yeah, that was my mock, and I'm hoping we at least come away with a couple of those guys. I like who I'm seeing.
Yeah, so my mock is very simple. We're gonna do our team mock too. So that's, we're gonna do our together mock. But you know, for me personally, I think that getting a guy like, I think they need to focus on the offensive line, but I do think that they're going to trade up. I have inklings that they're going to trade up. I think they will trade up. But, you know, Brad Holmes spoke today. He said that, you know, the offensive line is the lifeblood of his team. That's what they're going to build on. So I did this mock draft just based on that. So it's 29. I picked Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. We don't know how long Frank Ragnow will actually play. We know that he's been dealing with injuries after injuries after injuries, but he's been toughing through it. But there's going to come a point where he's going to say, I'm just going to hang it up. So that's a good spot right there to get him. The 61st pick, I get the wide receiver from North Carolina, Devontae Walker. And I know a lot of detractors are going to talk about how he struggled this year when he came back. He was dealing with that whole, NCAA was, they were challenging him on if he was going to play this year. He comes back, you know, later in the year, isn't really in the scheme of things. He kind of has a slow start, drops a lot of balls, kind of reminded me of Jameson Williams, to be honest. Like, when Jameson Williams came back, you remember this, Tyler, when Jameson Williams came back, one of the things that we noticed about him was it took him a little bit of time to get acclimated to the offense, get acclimated to Jared Goff's throws, get acclimated to timing. And that's some of the things that happen when you start a season, you start a season late, you know, like if you're starting a season week 5, week 6, it's going to take you to probably week 14, week 15. But we talked about that on the podcast, but that's what I look at with those. So, and then I got, at 73, the third round pick, we have Xavier Thomas from Clemson. I'm not really a huge fan of this pick. What I can say is he does do a lot of great things in terms of rushing the passer. That's one of the things I can look at. And then everyone on planet Earth knows that I'm not really the biggest Michigan fan, but I have two Michigan players going back to back in this draft because I really do think that they're great players. Zach Zenter, because he's going to need a redshirt year. You can redshirt him. You got Graham Glasgow. You got Colby Sorsdahl. You got Zeitler. You don't really need to start him off the hop. So that's what I look at with that. You don't need to start him off the hop. So if he has to come back week 7, week 8, week 9 off his leg injury, it doesn't hurt nothing. It really doesn't. And then I take a cornerback, Josh Wallace. And now Josh Wallace, he's probably the most underrated cornerback for the Michigan Wolverines last year. I know there's Will Johnson. I know there's Mikey Sanders still, but when teams figured out that Will Johnson was a baller, and when teams found out that Mikey Sanders still was a damn good quarterback, they went to Josh Wallace, and they started throwing at him religiously. And his three best games were against Ohio State, it was against Alabama, and it was against Washington. Those were his three best games. So when teams were throwing at him and he played the best competition, he came to play. I thought that was very, very, his passer rating against was very good. The only thing that he struggled against is in the run game. But listen, this is a fifth-round corner. You're not going to get that much, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah, got guys that can help stuff the run. I mean, we got Brian Branch and we got Kirby and we got guys that can.
Yeah, you're not going to get the perfect prospect in the fifth round. Right. You know, usually, I mean, Brad Holmes has set a pretty good precedent of, you know, drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown and drafting these guys. But to be honest, it's not always going to happen. So that's what I look at with Josh Wallace. I think he's a good one. I took Christian Boyd of Northern Iowa, the defensive lineman. He's really good, man. And he's coming from a kind of like a FCS school, not really known. But I think he'll rise up the draft boards by next week. You know, by this time next week, I think that he's going to go in the third, fourth round. I don't think he's going to be in the sixth round. And then round 7, pick 249, I picked Harrison Mebus, the kicker from Missouri. And the kid's got a bomb for a leg. I've seen him win multiple games. And I remember just watching the Tennessee game that he played. He hit some like 55-yarder with ease. Like, it was with ease. And it was into the wind. And I remember that, damn, I was like, this is a game that they're probably going to lose, like the Volunteers. But the Volunteers didn't lose because the Volunteers are badass. But Joe Milton was their quarterback, so that was another reason. But that's what it is. So that was my mock draft for the people, Tyler. And I feel like that was a pretty damn good mock draft for my
draft. Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what we come up with. We might see some surprises. I'm just winning 12 games, you know, I like how Jared Goff was talking on an interview saying, like, you know, we don't want to really be the underdog anymore. We want to shed that label. So, like, you know, teams are going to be coming after you. Like, teams are going to be on your back. Teams are going to be on your ass. Teams are going to understand that you're a real team and you're a good team. So you have to get better through the draft. You have to build depth. You can't just sneak by anymore and just all of a sudden be like, oh, yeah, we kind of look at us. We accidentally got 12 wins. Like, no, like, teams are like, they know that you're for real now. And so it's going to take depth. I mean, look at the teams that made it the furthest, the Chiefs. And the Niners have some of them, like, the deepest defenses in the entire league. I mean, the Chiefs' offense this year was pretty laughable. And Patrick Mahomes kind of was playing like like 2009 Jay Cutler. But like they had an amazing defense, and I just think that as long as we shore that up, you know, losing Cam Sutton to that whole situation, and just not having, you know, being able to sign, you know, Carlton Davis, and hopefully going out in the draft and getting a couple corners. Like, we know that our secondary has been the weakest link of our defense for quite some time. I think we're finally ready to put that to rest, and we've got to get some talent over there. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. And then also, you know, we can't have Aiden being double teamed and triple teamed every single freaking player. No. We've got to get some help on the line. So this will be an important draft for trenches and offensive line, defensive line, and cornerbacks. So hopefully, you know, we're able to kind of get some more talent flowing through the team here.
Yeah, I think what you just said is right. It's crazy because this draft really could really propel us in terms of the way that we put it together. And like, I think that, you know, a lot of people didn't like the offseason. And we didn't get your opinions on the offseason, Tyler. I mean, because you were a little bit, you know, you were occupied with some other stuff. So, I mean, what'd you think about the DJ Reader and Amik Robertson and Carlton Davis, you know, the signings, yeah, like, you know, the trades and everything?
Yeah. And first off, man, like I said, I'm happy to be back. I'm ready to lock in this year. I just wanted to let all you guys know, you know, I was dealing with some family stuff and some personal stuff. So all that, you know, is kind of getting a little better or whatever, kind of resolving itself. So, you know, had some, you know, some bad news with some family health issues and stuff. So we're getting ready to lock in, man. We're going to have a good, you know, good rest of the off season and lock in for the beginning of the season. I'm super happy to have all you guys here and hang out and talk football with you guys. So I just want to say thank you for, you know, your love and support, and, you know, appreciate you, Joe. You're always he's a homie. And
yep.
So, but anyways, man, as far as the acquisitions go, Amik Robertson, I really like that move, actually. I mean, he's a little undersized, but he's one of those guys. It's like, it's not about the dog, like the dog in the fight. It's about the fight and the dog. So he's like, you know, he's a little like ball of energy. It's kind of what we wanted CJ Gardner-Johnson to be, as far as like using that energy and that vibe, because it's funny because we went out and got a guy who still fits that bill, like confident, kind of will talk your shit, has that high energy, but he does it more of like a team way and not a way that you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So I really like that energy that
he's not going to wave bye to the crowd.
Right. Right. So like, we went and got a guy that was like high energy, but like not disrespectful. And I think that fits our culture a little bit, like a little bit better or whatever, but I love that signing. And then DJ Reader, dude, we absolutely needed a freaking block eating, run stuffing. Like, it reminds me of the Snacks Harrison signing, but like Snacks was, I think, 33 when he signed with us. So I think DJ Reader's 29. So we basically get, you know, our new age version of Snacks Harrison at four or five years younger. So I really like that move a lot. And then Carlton Davis, I mean, Tampa Bay put him in a lot of zone scheme where he kind of was exposed, but he is a very physical man-to-man specialist as a corner. So I think this gives us the ability to run more man, and I think that's a good thing. I know Aaron Glenn likes to run man, and I think that shoring up, like, those are three really good depth signings. And if you take, like, notice that we didn't make any crazy splashes, we didn't make any crazy trades, we didn't throw the absolute bag at anybody. Like, they're smart, calculated, small changes that are, I think, are going to equate to, you know, sustainability and like longevity of the team being able to succeed. I mean, that's what you need. You know, you need decent deals at signings. Like DJ Reader, we got him for $13 million a year. Amik Robertson, we got him for like $3 or $4 million a year. I mean, it helps when you can get guys on deals like that, that really have like a love and passion for football, and they want to come in here and like prove something. So I love that, man. So I think we did a pretty good job. I know a lot of people, and even including me in the past, have been on Brad Holmes's ass about being more aggressive, but now that I'm seeing how it's panning out, I'm kind of leaning more towards your philosophy, where like, you get too overly aggressive, you end up being a flash in the pan, you end up burning up, and you end up being a one-hit wonder, and then yep, you're back in fucking, sorry, excuse my language, you're back in freaking cap hell, man. You're in purgatory, and you suck again in 5 or 6 years. Like, it looks like every time they make moves like this each offseason, it truly does look like Brad Holmes is trying to set this up for like sustainable success, which is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you know, what you just said is perfectly, you know, acceptable, because the way I look at it is, you know, these two guys, the guys, DJ Reader that they added, you know, Davis, Amik Robertson, like you said, is a bulldog. I do like the way he reads the ball, to be honest. He's very, very skilled. DJ Reader, if you add him to this defense with Aleem McNeil, with Aiden Hutchinson, with James Houston at the moment, with Marcus Davenport, Josh Pascal, you open up a lot of opportunities where those two in the middle are going to kill teams, because you can't double them both. And you're going to have to double Aiden. You're going to have to double Aiden. So I'm thinking that the Detroit Lions are kind of feeling this way. And I'm thinking that they're thinking, if we get these two guys in the middle and we can open up a guy like James Houston or Josh Pascal, or maybe a guy like, maybe if they got that, they draft a guy like Darius Robertson or Xavier Thomas, like I had in my draft. Those are some of the things that can really make this team like legit.
Well, so, especially have two guys in the middle like that, you might see a lot of interior sacks from like Aleem McNeil, because DJ Reader's eating up those blocks, where like Aleem McNeil's not a block eater. He's not that big. He's more of I'm not comparing him to, but more of an Aaron Donald type as far as like athletic, try to get to the quarterback, a little bit slightly undersized, but quick, fast, agile. Now, don't come after me, guys. I'm not saying Aleem McNeil's anywhere close to Aaron Donald, but similar, seems like he kind of models his game that way. So with having DJ Reader in the middle, it'll probably allow Aleem McNeil to really up his sack total from that interior position of the line, which is going to be cool, which is going to be really cool to see.
Yeah, but you know the thing about what they did with Aleem McNeil, like Aleem McNeil was a top five defensive tackle last year, if we're going to be totally honest with each other. Like, that's just what it was. So they did a damn good job of addressing some needs that they needed. And we're going to address some needs right now in this mock draft. And if you're on the podcast, we did this live. We're on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We're on Twitter too. We have a couple X viewers. So thank you for listening to all those X viewers. But we're going to do the mock draft. We're going to go through it kind of player by player. I'm going to give you some names to watch out for. Tyler is going to have some, you know, maybe he wants to, there's a guy that he wants to look at in the second or third round. But we're going to kind of go through this together. So let's do it.
Yes, so sir. I'm zooming in a little bit. I, for some reason, the StreamYard doesn't like to work on my laptop, so I always have to have it
more. Yeah, that's the way it goes. But we're going to start the draft, and we're going to get to the pick 29. And right now at pick 29, there's Troy Franklin. There's Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from North Carolina State. There's Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. Ladd McConkey, Zach Frazier. Kool-Aid McKinstry went to Buffalo. Nate Wiggins went to Arizona. This would be the ultimate draft that you'd be like, what the hell, dude? Nothing went our way. Because every pick 25 through 28, Newton, Mitchell, Wiggins, Kool-Aid. Even ahead of them with Dallas, you had Jackson Powers Johnson, Grant Barton, Brian Thomas to Philadelphia, Jared Verse to Miami.
That is really rough. If we were given this choices, I don't know about you personally, I'm probably going more towards like Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia.
Yeah, Zach Frazier, yep.
So I've seen him in quite a few mocks already. He seems to leaning towards us. He's a you know, really good lineman. And I think if the draft was totally screwy, we didn't trade up, and this is how the blocks fell, I think that this probably has to be the selection.
And his brown black grade was really good. I don't really value the grades on Pro Football Focus, but I do like to use them as a resource. His run block grade was 75.3, was really good. Pass block grade was really good. His zone grade was good. His gap grade was good. He didn't allow any sacks last year. He allowed 3 hits on the quarterback, 3 hurries, and I believe he was playing with a broken foot. So, you know, this is the way it goes. Some say he's an early 2-day pick. This is what Pro Football Focus is saying. But again, he's not going to be asked to start for the Detroit Lions, so he can kind of learn under Frank Ragnow. What a better player to learn under than Frank Ragnow. So if we're in conjunction with getting Zach Frazier, this is the way we have to go.
Yep.
So we go with Zach Frazier at pick 29. Oh, shit. You know what? It only did the first round, so we're going to be they said we should have drafted Chop Robinson, which I don't believe that. But I forgot to put the seventh round, so we're going to do that now. But this is what it is. It is what it is. Why am I echoing so much?
I don't know.
All right. Anyways.
Not echoing on my end.
Well, I don't. Yeah, it's weird. But all right. Let's do the seventh round draft. We did the first round. For some reason, the Pro Football Focus kind of screwed it up. Hopefully, we get some better players, to be honest. All right, this one, we do get some better players. We do get Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, who I do like. If you look at Jackson Powers Johnson, again.
Dude, he's a monster, and he's cousins with Penei Sewell, bro. I lock it in.
So, yeah, this is a guy I would lock in. I really would. I think he's I think this is another guy. He could learn in behind Frank Ragnow, and if you look at the analysis, I mean, they say he has short arms even for an interior player, but you know what?
That's his only con.
That's his only con, and you know what? That was once Jason Kelce's con too.
Absolutely.
So, let's go Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. And if you're we're going back to the first round of the last draft where we only did the first round, we got stuck with Zach Frazier because the whole board sucked. So we got it. So in this one, we got some players that we could actually look at for the Detroit Lions. There's some good players on the board. Chris Jenkins from Michigan, the defensive tackle, run stop rate 12.6. Pass rush win rate was 11.0.
I hate to be the guy who just takes the top guy on the board, but actually, if this is how the board fell, I wouldn't mind Chris Jenkins here. I kind of like that pick. So I'll let you kind of take the reins on this. Like I said, I don't want to be the nerds who just like take the top guy every time, but like Chris Jenkins wouldn't be a bad pick here at all.
Yeah, Chris Jenkins wouldn't be a bad pick here. I mean, I look at another guy like Jonah Ellis.
That pass rush win rate is insane.
Oh, that's insane. His pass
almost rush 18%.
And you know, his dad was Luther Ellis, who played with the Lions. So I look at Jonah Ellis and I go, okay, this could be a good pick, but I do like Chris Jenkins. I do like the guy that's on the board at 60, Christian Haynes, the guard from UConn. If you're looking for a guard, but obviously I think if you can get Zach Zenner later in the draft, that would be the ideal pick to go with because he can sit for a little bit and you really don't have to, you can put him on the pup list and he doesn't count against the roster. But this guy's going to be a stud, Christian Haynes. I do think he's going to be a stud. But the guy there's a couple guys. Marshawn Nealon, the kid from Western Michigan. Look at that pass rush win weight, 17.3. He had 6 sacks this year, 28 hurries, 3 hits, and then he was fantastic. He was over the tackle a couple times. He was outside the tackle. He was off the ball. So we see there's some position versatility right there. I do like that. And look, he's a Western Michigan kid, but his analysis, I mean, he didn't play the best competition. We all know that the MAC's not the greatest competition, but I think if you can put him next to DJ Reader, I think if you can put him next to Lee McNeil, maybe move him to the inside, put James Houston on the outside. This could be a legitimate ad for this Detroit Lions team.
Yeah.
So that's where I go with there.
Yeah, but I think like I said, I think we have to go, like I said, rusher, edge rusher or line. I mean, to me, it would be probably between, I don't know, Chris Jenkins or Jonah Ellis, but I do like the Western Michigan kid, but that would probably be where I'd be at for the one of those top two. Just someone that we can kind of get on that line to help.
So where would you go in this particular? Now we do got some trades on the board. Let's see who could be traded. Kansas City wants to trade up. We would drop 3 picks. Carolina wants to trade up. We would drop 4 picks. Chicago wants to trade up. We would lose probably around 15 picks, 14 picks.
What's between the Chiefs and the Panthers, what are they offering?
Well, let's see. So Carolina has 64, 95, 131, 159 from Dallas, a compensatory pick of 173. So if you say, let's take 64, let's give them 61. No, they won't do that. Let's say you take 131. Would you be open to that? All right, let's see what happens. This is what happens. Trade is accepted. We're gonna drop three rounds. Chris Jenkins went to Baltimore. John Harbaugh. So now we have our pick, Mr. Tyler. We have our pick. So
I would say I like Jonah Ellis here, man.
I like Jonah Ellis as well, but I honestly would think about taking Marshawn
Nealon. All right, screw it. Let's take Marshawn Nealon then.
Let's take Marshawn Nealon. Let's go with that. So we dropped a couple picks. We gained a pick. We're good to go. Let's see what happens. We take him. Now we get to Detroit at 73. Not really the best top prospects in terms of the board. I think we should be looking at a cornerback here. So let's see what cornerbacks are available. But there is a guy in Devontae Walker who I took with my mock draft. I just want you to look at it's. I want you to look at this, Tyler. So he played in 8 games last year because the NCAA was stupid and they were like, hold up, guys, you might be ineligible. So he was ineligible. He came in, played 8 games. I felt like the first couple games he was trying to get his feet under him wasn't really that great. I thought he really started off really bad. His drop rate was – he was dropping balls early when he came back, and he was kind of slow to come out. And he got better against man coverage. So, but what I look at is, you know, we all know that Brad Holmes loves contested catch rate. His contested catch rate is 58.8. And I look at that and I go, that's a dog right there. Now, you know, obviously, let's look at the cornerbacks and the wide receivers. Or you got wide receivers. I mean, there's not anybody that's a contested catch rate, and they're all down there. I mean, you got Javon Baker, but Javon Baker is 6'1". We need a bigger wide receiver. And Tez Walker is 6'2", 200 pounds. I mean, this is what the Pro Football Focus says. They say he has the makings of a game-changing wide receiver. When he was at Kent State in 2022, he played against Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia to start the season. Not only looked like he would belong, but he was the best player in the field at times, which is saying a lot because that 22 Georgia team was stacked. He's incredibly explosive. He consistently catches with his hand and can snag grabs through contact. In 2023, his footwork wasn't any precise, but he was much better in 2022. You can credit that to him not playing in the first 4 games. His route running is based on him winning vertically. He needs to be more nuanced, diverse, and precise if he wants to be consistently get by NFL cornerbacks. And that's basically what it is. So,
who got that corner? If there's not a lot of names I like at corner, I definitely would probably consider him.
So let's look at corner. They got Kyrie Jackson. Kyrie Jackson is a corner from Oregon. He's one of the top on the board. Completion percentage 50%, which is not that great when you look at the competition that he played against. I mean, his worst game was against Washington. I think Michael Penix is a damn good quarterback. So I look at that in USC with Caleb Williams, one of his worst times. Then he's better against Washington the second time. There's not much there for Kyrie Jackson. If we look at Rinaldo Green from Florida State, run defense, look how bad that is, 61.8.
His man coverage, though, is insane.
The man coverage is really good. Completion percentage is 51.7. His zone coverage grade is 68.1. His forced incompletion was 6th in the NCAA. And you look at some of the teams that he played, you know, Clemson, Virginia Tech, ACC wasn't great, but he played Jaden Daniels and had one of his best games. I like Rinaldo Green in terms of it at him. And then you got, you know, let's look at Kalen Carson. You know, this is a guy who is 6', 195. He's not your big stereotypical corner, but his completion percentage 56.3. Man coverage grade was 61%.
What's our next pick after this?
So our next pick after this is 131. So I think if you wait till 131, you might be able to get guys like, for instance, like I would go with Cam Hart. I mean, this is a guy that's I think.
You like DJ James at all or no?
Sort of. If his run defense is brutal, his completion percentage is meh. He played in the SEC. Some of his best games came against the worst competition in the SEC. I mean, I don't think KJ Jefferson is a great freaking player, quarterback. But he allowed 385 yards last year. He really didn't get much better in terms. His passer rating went up actually to 87.4 last year, which is absolutely insane to me.
If we wait, if we go grab receiver, if we wait on corner, we're not going to have much to choose from.
I feel like we're going to have a lot to choose from. I think this is a deep draft in terms of corners. I don't think there's elite level corners in this draft once you get outside the first round. So, I mean, I look at a guy Jaron Jones again.
Screw it. Let's go take the homie from UNC.
So we're going to take the homie from UNC, Devontae Walker. He is the highest ranked player on the board in terms of our wide receivers and cornerback. So we are going to take him at 73. And then we're waiting, Tyler. We are waiting. And we get to our pick. Now, it's interesting because ahead of us, let's go through some of these teams that have drafted. Brendan Rice to the Broncos. Kalen Carson, who we did like, went to the Bengals. Tyke Smith went to Jacksonville. Ben Sinat, that's a pretty damn good pick for the Vikings at 108. Jamari Thrash to the Chargers. I'm sure Justin Herbert will like that. Christian Mahogany went to the Seahawks at 102. Man, that's a good pick. Braylon Trice, edge rusher, went to the Cincinnati Bengals. I do like that. Cooper Beebe to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. Man, they just keep getting better. But we look at the board right now, and the best player on the board is Audric Estime, which is the halfback from Notre Dame. He's not that great of a player, to be honest. But it is what it is.
A little bit. What about
We got Tanner Bortolini. You know, if my girlfriend heard me butcher an Italian name, we'd have some issues. Well, now it's fiance. He's good in pass grade. You know, his pass block grade is pretty good, but his run block is. This is a guy that you would kind of wait on to. We already drafted a center in Jackson Powers Johnson, so we're not really worried about center. But that's just kind of what you're looking at. Cole Bishop, the safety.
How's Jarvis Brownlee or whatever from LSU? What's his numbers looking like?
It's not great. Coverage grade was 78.1. He allowed 4 TDs last year. His passer rating against was 100.2. I'm not really a fan of that. Let's look at the corners on the board right now. So the corners on the board: Jarvis Brownlee. You got Miles Harden. Some of these guys that we were talking about. On the board, this guy, I don't know how he's so high, but whatever. But you got Cam Hart, you got Kalen King, the kid from Detroit, and it's not really. If I'm gonna go here, honestly, let's see who they got interior offensive line. Zach Zenner still available.
Yeah, go ahead, let's lock it in.
Do you want to go Zach Zenner or do you want to go Cam Hart?
It's up to you.
don't put that evil on me. All right, we're gonna go. So we're at pick 131 right now.
We can just hope that Zach Zenner falls to us. Let's go corner.
Yeah, let's go corner. Let's go to corner from Notre Dame. Cam Hart. I think Cam Hart. Let's look. I haven't took a look at him. Not bad. His run defense isn't that great, but his passer rating went up again. So. Not really someone that I'm really interested in, to be honest. So let's go Cam Hart at the pick we have right now. So now we're waiting. Let's see if Zach Zenner gets to us. It'd be really great if he did get to us. Let's see. He did. Zach Zenner. So we're in conjunction with this pick. Zach Zenner is our pick at 164. So this is good. This is a good pick because, like I said,
this is a potential late first round, early second round guy before his injury. it's going to take a team that has patience and has time to work with them. It's a perfect fit.
Yeah, and like we said, though, like Zach Zenner, he doesn't have to come in here and play high minutes. He doesn't have to rush his timeline of his injury. And then if you look at his grades, like, look at these grades. These are fantastic grades. Zero sacks allowed last year. I know he played in two less games. He broke his leg, but Jesus, Pete, zero sacks. His gap grade was 72.2. His zone grade was 72.9. The run block grade was 75.8. They're all green. And his best games came against Penn State, which is a good team, Maryland. He left that Ohio State game late in that, but look, I don't care about the grades. I care about more about the stats. Zero sacks allowed and three sacks allowed in your whole career, and you played a lot of snaps. I mean, you were talking about maybe 2,300 snaps that he's played, and yeah. And you haven't allowed three sacks. I'm gonna take it. So this is a no. Let's see what the Pro Football Focus says about him. They say he's a below average athlete for the guard position. Taller height makes him more length, but also makes him tougher to get low for leverage. Nimble footwork for his size. I always love these kinds. Light in the pants. Most of the
Zach
weight.
Zach Zenner's got a little penis. Little light in the pants, man. What a tough scouting report. I'd be like, ooh, that's
some of these scouting reports are just so funny to me, because they'll say something like, oh, he's got a little bit too much nimbleness to him. I'm like, wait, what? What are you talking about? But we're taking Zach Zenner here. I don't care. We're taking him.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
So we got three picks remaining. We got 201, 205, and 249.
Not taking a punter.
No, we're not. We got Jack Fox. We don't need a punter. Now, here.
Are you interested in any, like, tight end depth at this point?
I would be interested in some tight ends. Let's see what tight ends are available. You got A.J. Barner, who's from Michigan. His contested catch rate is really
I like his run blocking.
Yeah, his run block, he's a good run blocker. We know that for sure. The guy from Illinois, Tip Reeman, I think he's decent. Again, he's not going to be some stud like Sam Laporta, and we don't need a stud like Sam Laporta, but that is just what it is. I do like Trey Knox, but his contested catch rate, like I said, is not that great. Let's look at the kid from Washington, Jack Westover. He kind of reminded me of a little bit, but his drop rate was 2.1. His run block grade was 73.3, so that's pretty good. Contested catch rate 50%, so he was pretty damn good. Isaac Rex from BYU.
I would say I'm open to that. Washington tight end was probably one of our next picks, but yeah. I think we could probably get some better value here.
Let's look at, well, here's what I want to ask you.
Dylan Johnson, he's a dog.
Here's what I want to ask you. I know people are they love Jahmyr Gibbs. They love Dave Montgomery, but I understand that, you know, sometimes running backs could fall off the face of the earth. They just can't. So if you're looking at a running back right now, I think I look at two of these guys in particular. I look at Jace McClennon from Alabama. He's 5'11", 212. You know, he's pretty good. His elusive rating was 87.1 yards after contact, 3.2. He had he had 49 missed tackles, which was top 50 in the top 51 in the NCAA. He played some good competition. Alabama played Michigan. They played Tennessee. They played LSU. They played Texas A&M, Texas, and his yards after contact was pretty good as well. But he had one drop as a player. Dylan Johnson, though, the one thing I can say about him is he kind of reminds me of a guy that would be like perfect for Dan Campbell. He grinds it out. He toughens it out. He played with a broken foot, I believe, in the playoff. And he's just absolutely a dog. Yards after contact, top 50 in the NCAA. He's not a route runner. Carries a 15-plus yards. He had 15 throughout the year. His best games came in the biggest moments. Against Michigan State, against Arizona, against USC, against Utah, Oregon. and Texas and Michigan, where Texas, Michigan, he was hurt too. So that's something.
Well, you got to basically say is Dylan Johnson has the potential to be better than, say, Craig Reynolds, or running back three, which the answer to that is
right. Probably. Well, no, yeah. And then you got a guy like Frank Gore Jr., who the name is synonymous with himself. I mean, he's legit. Look at that yards after contact, 824, 16th in the league in the NCAA, 67 missed tackles, fourth. I mean, I really do like Frank Gore Jr. here, to be honest. I like Dylan Johnson here. Is there any other position that you're, like, looking at that you're, like...
I mean, maybe double up on corner or safety.
Let's see the cornerbacks that are available right now. Josh Wallace is still on the board. Like I told you guys...
What I would be interested in... Hear me out here if you're interested in this. I would say... If we can get this the way it's broken down with their rating or with their rankings right now, if we could go like Jack or Dylan Johnson, that tight end from Washington, and then if we could finish it out with Josh Wallace, I think I would be pretty happy.
Well, what if we did it like this, Tyler? We did it. Did we take Dylan Johnson here at 201? And then 205, we see who's still on the board. But 249, I think we should reserve for maybe a kicker. Maybe
I like Josh Wallace at 205. So
do you want to take? I mean, let's see these cornerbacks on the board. There's Elias Jones for his man coverage grade is pretty damn good, his completion percentage is really good. Would you have any thoughts about taking Elijah Jones?
Yeah, I mean, what does it say? What's his 40? Does it say his speed?
Let's see. Nope.
Let's see.
6'2", 184, if that makes any, if that helps anything. But his stats alone, they're kind of
eye-popping. Oh, I do like that. Yeah, would you be opposed to being able, like, in the back half of this, just, like, loading up on corner? I mean, because, like, if we went, say we went, what was his name, the dude at the top?
Elijah Jones.
Say we went, like, Elijah Jones, Dylan Johnson, and then, Josh Wallace. I mean, is that too many corners in the draft?
I mean, I don't think.
Do you let him fight it out and see if you can survive?
I mean, if we're gonna pick a corner, would it be Elijah Jones or Josh Wallace? I think we should go with Elijah Jones.
I like Elijah Jones there. I do. He, dude. After you showed me his grades, that dude's a dog.
All right, let's go Elijah Jones at pick 201. At 205, the Lions are back on the board. And I think this one is synonymous right here, Tyler. I think we're gonna go running back here with Dylan Johnson.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like that pick.
All right, cool. And then we get to we're getting to the last pick at 249. This is gonna be very, very interesting, Tyler, because the best player on the board right now is Will Reichert. The third best player is Cam Little, the kicker from Arkansas.
Go to that tight end again. I want to see if he's still there.
The Westover?
Yeah.
He should be available. Yeah, he's still available.
I think, because hear me out. If in this scenario, if we keep Badgley for the time being and then we end up signing Jake Bates, we can use this pick on a backup tight end.
Okay. So what you're saying right here is you're saying that we would sign Jake Bates from the UFL, the Michigan Panthers.
Yes, sir.
And then you would want to go for tight end. And that's a reasonably good perspective. Westover is pretty talented, but you got Will Reichert. This is a guy I like on the board. I know we took a center, so it don't matter. But Zinner is a guard. But if we get to the later rounds and we're looking for a center, this is a guy that I would kind of look at is Dylan McMahon. I really like him. You look at his pass grade, his run block grade. He allowed one sack, three sacks. He's a pretty damn good player. But then you look at, there's the quarterback. I'm trying to see if my guy is on the board. The Oregon State. Trente Jones is on the board for a tackle. He's a safety for Oregon State. Old Depot or whatever. Now, you know, Tyler's a huge Pistons fan. He wanted Old Depot in the draft for the Pistons.
Yeah,
Nope, he's gone. So I think what you laid out for the people is a really good pick. Do you have any inklings of maybe a quarterback, like a backup quarterback? I mean, I know we drafted Hendon Hooker last year.
No, I think we're safe there. I mean, sometimes teams do that if they, you know, if they're I personally like Jack West over there, and this is on the precedence that we're going to sign Jake Bates. I actually think it's a real possibility. And I would really like it, cuz that dude nails kicks, man.
Yeah, then we got my guy's
up there.
Yeah, your guy's up there, and we're going to look at his stats. Coverage grade is 90. That's great. Missed tackle rate is 11.4. It could be better there. This is Edafion Olufashio. First of all, I feel for any team that drafts him, because this is going to be a hell of a name to look at. He's a 6'1", 236-pound linebacker.
Yeah, he's a little small for sure.
From Anchorage, Alaska, you know, that's his smallness is probably going to help hurt him. Dallas Gant,
his
run defense is really good. His pass rush grade is not that great, but his missed tackle rate is really good. That's pretty special. We're just kind of going through some of these guys. I don't see anybody at the linebacker position, Tyler. You know what? I think that the tight end, like you said, Jack Westover would be. So let's go through it with these people. Trey Knox, his contested catch rate 25. We know that Brett Holmes loves a contested catch rate.
Sure.
So if you're not a good contested catch rate, you probably won't have a spot on the Detroit Lions, in my opinion. And Trey Knox is 6'5", 237. He's a huge dude, but you gotta win those contested catch rates. And when we look at Jack Westover, 50% contested catch rate. He was a great tight end. 4 TDs this year, 433 yards, receptions 46. He was targeted 56 times. He's just a guy that, you know, I think last year he showed out, and I think this is a guy that we should definitely take right here.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take Jack Westover, and that is going to do it for the draft for us. I'm going to save this. They're grading our draft right now. Let's see what we got, Tyler. We should have drafted Jonah Ellis instead of Marshawn Nyland. I can see their point, but whatever. They gave us a C for drafting Jackson Powers Johnson, which is just...
That's wild. That'd be a great pick.
They gave us an A-, which they said we'd pick the wrong player at edge for Marshawn Nyland. Devontae Walker, another C. Cam Hart, another C. Zach Zenner, A-. Elijah Jones, a C. Dylan Johnson, a C. They're going to have Cs, and our draft rank was top 75 of Lions draft. So, you know, shove it. Take that, you know, shit.
I mean, this is if this is how the board played out, this may not be a sexy draft or like an ooh and ah draft, but I actually think like if this was our draft, I would walk away pretty happy with it. Like I really would. I mean, especially the way the board played out, like this is, I feel like a more realistic draft. You know, the people are like, oh, well, I traded up and got Quinion Mitchell, and then I got Mike Sanistrill, and then we got, you know, and then we got Zach Zinter, and then we got, you know, Xavier Worthy. And it's like, okay, like, you're just going to go and get all the best names out in the draft. Like, that's not how the draft ends up playing out, ever.
So let's look at the first round for this draft. We didn't draft the first round, but they did. Let's see if there's any picks that we disagree with in the first round, Tyler, just to be honest. So Caleb Williams went number one at Chicago. I think that's a foregone conclusion. Drake May, quarterback. No.
Jaden Daniels is going there.
You think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback?
No, not necessarily better, but he's the better fit for Washington, and he's ready to start. And in Washington, I'm not gonna say I know for a fact because I don't know. I'm not inside the room, but it's all signs are leaning towards they like Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, definitely.
Yeah. Now this New England Patriots pick is absolutely wild to me. Like it's kind of stupid to me, to be honest. I mean,
if they were at 3 and Drake May went 2, they'd be drafting Jaden Daniels at 3. I'm pretty positive.
Where is Jaden Daniels going? To Minnesota at 11? That don't make any sense. Okay, well, let's not skip ahead. At 3, the Patriots pick Marvin Harrison Jr. At 4, I do like this pick, Roma Dunze to Arizona to help out short man Kyler Murray. and he goes there. Malik Nabers to the Chargers. They don't need a quarterback, so that's a good pick. Joe Alt goes to New York. They need a quarterback. Why wouldn't they take Jane Daniels? If they don't, why would the Giants do it? You know what I'm saying? Terrion Arnold goes to the Titans at 7. Quinion Mitchell goes at 8 to the Atlanta Falcons.
I don't think the Falcons pass up on Dallas Turner, to be honest with you.
Oh no, I don't. And if Dallas Turner went to Chicago, that's nightmare fuel. I don't want that to happen at all. But Dallas Turner goes to Chicago.
The Jets, Brock Bowers. That's realistic. That's very realistic.
Yeah, because you know Brock Bowers being a Jet is a foregone conclusion. At 11, the Vikings take Jaden Daniels without even trading up, which is just kind of stupid the way that this board has fallen. J.J. McCarthy, the Broncos, I do like that. I think J.J. is going to be a pretty damn good quarterback. Troy Fatanu, tackle, goes to Vegas. I don't think that's a Vegas pick. I think Vegas is going to pick the fastest player on the board. Saints pick J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama. Byron Murphy to the Colts at 15, the defensive lineman. Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, goes to Seattle Seahawks.
That dude's going to be a dog, bro.
Tyleese Fuega goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. I do like that pick. Cooper DeJean goes 18.
He doesn't seem to be a good fit for me in the Bengals. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that fit at all. But I think if there's any place that their defensive coordinator Lou Amoramo, I think he can make that happen. But if I was Cooper the Bengals,
Cooper DeJean, I really like in Philly or Green Bay for like a fit.
Yeah, if I was the Bengals, I would have picked Jared Verse, to be honest. But
yeah,
or Brian Thomas, because you're gonna lose T. Higgins. So why the hell would you pick a cornerback? But I get it to a point. Jared Verse goes to 19, where they're Aaron Donaldless, LA Rams. Graham Barton to the Steelers. The Steelers finally address their offensive line. I think that's a great pick right there. Brian Thomas to the Dolphins.
They have a lot of other needs than a wide receiver.
Yeah, but you know how stupid the Dolphins are. They'll do something stupid like this. Olu Fashanu, the tackle, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I do like that. Again, nightmare fuel, Tyler. I don't want to see this happen, but at 23, with the Cleveland pick, Minnesota Vikings select Jerzon Newton. I don't like that at all. Nate Wiggins to the Dallas Cowboys. Tyler Guyton to the Green Bay Packers. Armarius Mims to the Buccaneers. Adonai Mitchell. They took two wide receivers. That's crazy. The Cardinals did. The Cardinals take at 27. Adonai Mitchell, from Texas wide receiver.
That dude is tall and fast as well. Him and Rome would be a crazy 1-2 punch.
Contested catch rate is pretty meh, though. Kool-Aid goes at 28 to the Buffalo Bills. The Lions obviously picked Jackson Powers Johnson. Ladd McConkey goes to the Baltimore Ravens. I think
Mikey Sainsdrill at 31, sneaking in the first round, huh?
Yeah, Sanders still goes to the 49ers at 31, and Chop Robinson finishes out the draft with 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I do like that pick, to be honest.
That's a good fit for them. That's a good fit.
Yeah, so this was a fantastic draft for us, Tyler, because I feel like we got all the players that we were trying to get. I feel like that there was, like I said, we're gonna bring this up real quick, but I feel like this draft was way better than we could have imagined. And
like I said, it's more of a realistic draft. It's a draft that fits needs. We're kind of taking into account something that, you know, PFF isn't going to take into account is, like, you know, culture fits, attitudes, motors. I mean, these are things, you know, leadership. These are the things that are really, really important to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. So, I mean, you kind of got to look into that. Like, you know, some of those guys are known leaders for their team and just have that scrappy fight dog in them, you know, like Dylan Johnson and Nealon from Western Michigan. Like these guys that just have that strong desire to play football and to do well and to have something to prove, have a chip on their shoulder. So I think it's a good draft.
I don't care what Pro Football Focus says. The stats bear it out. Elijah Jones at 201 was a great pick. Dylan Johnson and Jack Westover, we felt like those were good picks. And to be fair, Tyler's reasoning to pick Jack Westover instead of a kicker was the Lions are going to sign Jake Bates. That's what he said. And I agree with him 100% there. Cam Hart.
I mean, apparently we were one of the first teams to contact them, and they're not allowed to have, like, formal communication with NFL teams until their season is fully over. So I do expect Jake Bates to come in for a camp.
What I believe I read someone posted the bylaws of the UFL, and the Lions can't contact him and try to make a contract negotiation until after the year. They can contact him and, like, say we have interest in you after the season, such and such. So I think that's pretty well respected. But this has been like I said, this mock draft is pretty damn good. And like I said, with my mock draft 1.0, Tyler, I had Tez Walker. And I brought him up because of his, contested catch rate. I think that's really good. But I think Tez Walker is going to be good. And then
some of those gradings are very skewed because of the fact that he didn't really get to have a full 2023 season. So, yeah. His 2022 season, I bet you his grades look a lot different.
And then this was Marshawn Nealand. Look at that pass rush win rate, the run stop rate. Man. I do like that. So, my mock draft 1.0, you probably didn't see it, but we picked the two players. And we picked Josh Wallace, but this is my mock 1.0. It was Kool-Aid, Nealand, Walker, Keegan, Wallace, and McMahon, and Mevis. I did like that pretty much, but I don't know. I'm big on I like Kool-Aid and I don't like Kool-Aid. Oh, and before we end the podcast, obviously Tyler was off a little bit, but I don't know if you've seen this, Tyler, but the Lions graded as one of the better teams in the offseason.
Yeah.
They're graded with their fourth best. Chicago obviously was number two. Atlanta getting Kirk Cousins number one. Pittsburgh getting the two quarterbacks they got that they're gonna battle it out. They were number three.
So I had to. It must be that the positional value on that for quarterback must be huge.
Yeah. So
I don't think Atlanta really had a ton of guys besides Kirk Cousins, did they? I mean,
no. So yeah, so that's what it is, and look. I was talking with this with Mayank was on the podcast on Tuesday. We had Matt Brodown from Woodward Sports because he's a Lions beat reporter or whatever. And we were talking to him and we were talking about how different this draft would be if Cam Sutton never got an issue that he got into. You know what I'm saying? But it was so weird that how it happened. It was Wednesday. And he was,
dude, I know. I sent that in the group chat, and everyone's like, "Is this a joke? Are you messing with us? This isn't funny." And I'm like, "No, dude, it's like, I saw it on Twitter from somebody shared it or reposted it from the official sheriff's website, of that county." And I'm like, "They're all like," so I kind of broke that to the team or whatever, and they're like, "No shit, are you serious? Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, and luckily." We are able to get out of that money. So, we should have some extra cap space available for that. I was hoping that, we would be able to see Cam Sutton in a more comfortable CB2, CB3 role, especially with Carlton Davis. With him being gone, I do feel like now more than ever, the need for corner is ramped up. I think the Lions are trying not to seem and look desperate like that. Like Brad Holmes is like, the cornerbacks are okay this year. Like they're pretty good, I guess. Like he's trying to kind of downplay it because I think he has a couple guys in mind that he's really looking at. But ever since Mr. Smartest in the Room decided that he was going to trade away our all-pro corner, our cornerback room hasn't been the same.
Yeah, that whole thing with
because Okuda was going to be the new savior at number three. And poor kid never really got a chance, man. He was kind of under the gun since the start.
Let's just go back to that for a minute. It was so funny because I literally laughed my ass off because at the time they were like, "Oh, this guy doesn't fit the culture." Well, we don't even know what culture that you want, dude. Because to be honest, you're not really that great. Like, you're not really that great. So I was like, okay, whatever. You know, let's see what happens. See if they do anything. And it just never panned out. And it's the sad part about it, but they did a damn, you know, obviously they rectified it with firing those two idiots. But damn, the way that...
It just sucks because, like, Diggs and Slay, dude, were still playing really good ball, and we just pretty much pissed them away for nothing.
Yeah, I got a bold take on that, though. You know, I know we're looking forward to the draft and everything, but, like, I feel like that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are worse than Matt Millen ever was.
It's not that crazy, you know?
No, but people always, like, they always fight me on it. It's always older people, too. The older people are like...
Oh, yeah, well, you never saw Matt Millen take three receivers in the top 10 3 years in a row.
You're that was my prime football age. I was, like, 11, 12, I was 13. Like, I was, like, watching these idiots take, like...
Mike Williams
and Charles Rogers and Roy Williams and... What was that linebacker that they... Teddy Lehman and shit. Like, at least Matt Millen left us with Calvin Johnson. You know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn left us with a good offensive line. I could say that. Like, Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow. But the rest of the team is ass. Matt Stafford asked out because of those two. And they're just like, damn, dude. Like, there's nothing that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn did that we were like, okay, at least they left us in this position here.
The only thing I'll give to Bob Quinn is that he was pretty good at getting alignment.
Yeah, that's what I say.
I mean, that's it.
That's what I say. Yeah, so before we end the podcast, there's one more thing I got to say. Well, two more things, but the second thing will be very quick. But this is a question to you, Tyler. Do you think there is anyone out there that the Detroit Lions can get in free agency or a trade? I'm going to preface this by saying, I do think, I've been talking to some people that are in New Orleans, and they believe that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be in a trade around June 1st, July, because his cap hit goes significantly down for the Saints, and they need to shed some payroll. Or Stephon Gilmore.
I was just going to say, Stephon Gilmore would be mine. I think that he'd be available in like a mentor role at a pretty, like, I think he still has another 1 to 2 years of good football left in him. I mean, you know, former defensive player of the year, very, very professional, very about his business. Seems like a Dan Campbell guy, really. You know, he kind of just lunch pail guy, comes in, goes to work, works hard, keeps his nose down, just gets to it. And then also, like, having his, like, brother on the practice squad or whatever. We still have Stephon Gilmore, right?
Yeah, we still have Stephon. Yeah.
So that might, you know, get a little, hey, man, you know, you get to hang out with your brother, spend some extra time, help build him up a little bit. If he ends up being something cool. If he doesn't, we didn't really expect him to anyways. But I fully expect, I shouldn't say I fully expect. I expect there to be some rumblings of, you know, trades or free agency signings. But, I mean... I think the Marshawn Lattimore, it depends on, we always assume that it takes more to get players because I've seen some trades where you're like, oh, damn, that's all it took. You know, if the Saints will take a third and a fifth for Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, sign me up. We have two third-round picks this year.
Yeah, well, what I heard from people that are like in New Orleans and they follow the team and they're covering the team and they have some podcasts and all that stuff, the one thing I heard is if we traded now for Lattimore, they would ask for a first round pick because their dead cap hit would be like $35 million.
Okay.
And then after June 1st, I think it goes down to like $10 million. So they would take like a third round pick, maybe a second, maybe a fourth, depending how you structure it. Yeah. But
But there were people saying that, you know, Justin Fields was gonna go for a first or second round pick and he went for a sixth. So
which was just banana lands, to be honest. Like, is Justin Fields not going for a first round pick? But, you know, people can dream, though. You know, people can dream. So.
Yeah, I mean, I heard all sorts of stuff with that. Like, you know, I mean, oh, Atlanta's going to give him a second and a fourth. You know, and like I said, they ship him out to Pittsburgh for a sixth. I also hear that's where he wanted to go. That's where he wanted to be. So they kind of try to do right by their players in that sense. Especially, it's pretty important for a new GM to. If you want players to realize, you know, to see that you respect and you try to work with them, I think that's more appealing for people that want to come play with you and work with you. So, sure. You know, could have been kind of one of those moves, but I don't know. I just think that it's just funny because people always, I'm pretty sure there were fans out there saying that we could trade, that we could get like, what was it, like a third round pick for, or a fourth round pick for Jerry Jacobs a couple years ago. People overvalue their guys is what I'm saying, man. I mean, it's like from what you can actually get guys for, you'd be surprised. This isn't Madden. You're not going to get all this crazy shit. But you know what? I guarantee you go out there and you fish a third or fourth round pick, you can probably get some high quality talent from a team that's trying to shed salary cap.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious. Like, oh yeah, man, we should be able to get, Okuda, man, he's been shit for 3-4 years. We should be able to get a second and a fourth for him probably, you know.
Like, and then never, it was like a sixth round pick.
I'm like, so obviously, okay.
We covered a lot in this podcast. We covered the jerseys, which are sick. I love the Motor City Muscle jersey. I love the 313 jersey. And I love the One Pride jersey, which is the blue, classic blue. I like that they went back to the old Barry Sanders days, to be honest. And then if you look at Amara'e St. Brown Gibbs in their new fits, the black unit looks great. The helmet looks great for both of them. And man, I love those blue pants. Those blue pants are just, I don't know what it is with the black. It looks great, but they can even do the blue pants with the plastic, you know, one, and the black pants with the black. It's great. This is a 10 out of 10 for the Lions on the uniform combination, because they totally nailed it out of the park. They didn't do anything stupid with the uniforms. They didn't do anything out of balance. They did everything great. If you missed our mock draft, we drafted Jackson Powers Johnson at 29-64. We drafted Marshawn Nyland, Davante Walker at 73, Cam Hart at 131, 164 was Zach Zinner, and 201 was cornerback Elijah Jones from the Boston College. Dylan Johnson, 205, and Jack Westover at 240. So this has been it for the Detroit Lions News podcast. Thank you, Tyler, for coming back on. You'll be on next week, obviously, because we're going to be talking more draft. Obviously, as we get closer to the draft, this is going to be some great stuff coming up.
Next week's probably going to be wrapping up our final mocks and stuff, our 4.0s.
Yep, and then we'll do another mock together, and then we'll figure it out. But this has been a great podcast, and obviously for everyone that's are new to the podcast, and you can go, if you missed any part of this episode, you can go to Detroit Lions News Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or where the hell you get your podcasts. We're on every pretty much platform right now, so that's good. But we're going to be more involved, and we have more episodes coming, obviously, throughout the offseason.
It's 2024 season, man. It's time to lock in, man, all summer. Yep. Joe, we're gonna go to some freaking practices together this year too, man. We're gonna link up and have some fun and maybe do some live pods out on the practice field. It'd be dope. Not in the field, yeah, but at the facility.
And there might be an announcement on the page when we get to like the regular season. We might be doing some game day pods at a place downtown, so we'll stay tuned for that. And yeah, this has been a great podcast, Tyler. I think our mock was pretty good. I don't give a shit what Pro Football Focus says. Even though they graded a B, they graded most of the players a C, and that's stupid. Especially Jackson Powers Johnson, like, go to hell right there. But this has been a great podcast. We're gonna talk more next week. You'll be seeing us probably Wednesday. I might do a podcast on Sunday for Monday, just because we're getting the draft week. I might be at the draft Thursday or Friday. I'm trying to figure it out, but I might be there. I might be like going to interviewing some Lions fans about the draft picks or whatever. We'll see how that happens. But stay tuned to the Detroit Lions News Facebook page, Detroit Lions News Podcast Facebook page. You can follow me on X at Detroit Joe Chap. What's your X again?
Mine T_horse95.
Okay, and so that's what it is. But it's a good time. So. Thank you for everyone that watched on the live. We still have 15 people. I think we maxed out at like 75, but it's been a great podcast, and we're going to post it. If you missed any part of the podcast, you can go back on the app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and listen to the whole podcast in conjunction. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next Detroit Lions News podcast. We'll talk more Detroit Lions football, and obviously we are getting more closer to the draft and more closer to the regular season. and it's going to be a long June and half of July. But thank you for listening.